Good afternoon and welcome to Frankly Speaking About Cancer with the Cancer Support Community. Your host is Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Cancer Support Community. This hour is designed to inspire, inform, and to help you live better with cancer. Now, here's your host, Kim Tibaldo.
Welcome to Frankly Speaking About Cancer, an internet radio show that focuses on informing and inspiring people to live well with cancer. My name is Linda House. I'm the president of the Cancer Support Community, and I'm lucky today to be sitting in for your regular host, Kim Tibaldo, who is out today. The Wellness Community and Gilda's Club have united to become the Cancer Support Community, one of the largest providers of cancer support in the United States and around the world. Our services are offered now at more than 170 locations worldwide and online at www.cancersupportcommunity.org. Your doctor tells you your cancer treatment was successful, and now you are cancer-free. Many people have rang a bell when they finished their last round of chemotherapy or radiation therapy. This is a great moment of joy for everyone. But many often ask, now what? If you complete your cancer treatment, you may experience a full range of emotions. You may be relieved that treatment is over, but are worried about the future. In some ways, this transition is one of the least understood aspects of the cancer experience. Many cancer survivors have told us that they felt they had lots of information and support during their illness, but once the treatment is stopped, they enter a whole new world that's filled with new and really unanswered questions. A lot of uncertainty around, what do I do next? I'm not coming in for my appointments. You know, who do I reach out to? How do I transition into work? A number of unanswered questions. You know, in this episode, we're looking at the topic of moving forward beyond this phase of treatment. Managing physical and emotional health, and empowering survivors to live their best life after their cancer. Today, we're really fortunate to have two individuals who are experienced in this topic join us, Carol Lamasfeld and Claire Saxton. Both will be on the show today. Claire will join us in segment four, but let me start off by telling you a little bit about Carolyn Lamasfeld. Carolyn is the Vice President of Integrative Oncology at the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, or we will refer to it as CTCA for short during the rest of the call. Carolyn has been with CTCA since 1998. She is a licensed and registered dietitian who is board certified in oncology nutrition. Carolyn earned her bachelor's degree in nutrition and dietetics from Bradley University and her master's degree in clinical nutrition from Rush Presbyterian St. Luke's Medical Center in Chicago. She also earned her master's degree in business administration and healthcare administration from Quinlan School of Business at Loyola University in Chicago. And I think you can see through those credentials why we're so excited to have Carolyn join us today. So welcome to the show, Carolyn. We've got a whole hour to answer some of these questions on survivorship, and we so appreciate you being here with us.
Thank you, Linda. I'm excited and looking forward to talking with you.
So before we get to the topic at hand, let us first learn a little bit more about you. You have a really interesting educational background, and I know that you have a clinical background that's equally interesting. And so just talk to us about how you started working with patients with cancer and what your current position is at CTCA.
Sure, and thank you for the introduction you provided as well, which I think goes through kind of my education history. I actually have been working with people with cancer for 25 of the 30 years of my career. I was fortunate, I think, early on to, in a couple positions prior to coming to Cancer Treatment Centers of America, or CTCA, to work with a variety of different populations of people during their cancer treatment. And compared to other populations I work with, really notice, one, how important it was for both the patient and their caregivers, at least early in my career, to help manage the nutrition challenges they had during and after treatment, and really how motivated they were to participate in their care. And so early on, I really found that was the area that I wanted to practice nutrition in. And then a little over 19 years ago, I found Cancer Treatment Centers of America and started as a director of nutrition there and helped expand the nutrition program as it grew to 5 centers across the country. So I did that for 12 to 13 years, and then about 7 years ago moved into this expanded role overseeing the integrative oncology program. And you mentioned about having a lot of these resources available during treatment, and that's exactly what we do at CTCA. So we have an integrative care model, which combines the treatment for cancer, surgery, chemotherapy, radiation, with integrative or supportive therapies at the same time under one roof. So I work with the model of care that provides nutrition, acupuncture, chiropractic medicine, mind-body medicine, naturopathic medicine, traditional rehabilitation services, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and along with spiritual support, massage. So I was able to move into that area and help coordinate that program across our five centers.
That's great. Thank you for sharing that with us. And at some point in this conversation, I do want to focus a little bit more on some of those support programs because they really are remarkable. But let's really start with the basics and help our listeners first understand when we're talking about the term cancer survivor, who is a cancer survivor?
Sure. According to the National Cancer Institute, anyone who has been diagnosed with cancer from the time of diagnosis through the rest of his or her life is considered a cancer survivor. Some organizations also include the people affected by the diagnosis, family members, friends, caregivers, as well as the actual person being treated for cancer. We know there are about 15.5 million cancer survivors living in the United States currently, and unfortunately that number is projected to grow. In 2006, the Institute of Medicine published a report, Cancer Patient to Cancer Survivor, Lost in Transition. And the title reflects what you mentioned in your opening comments, that cancer survivors have specific medical, physical, and emotional needs that need attention. And that's why CTCA is really excited and proud to be partnering with Cancer Support Community and LiveStrong to provide the Cancer Transitions Program for cancer survivors, which I'm sure we'll talk about a little bit later.
No, thank you. And we appreciate the partnership there. We're excited about this program as well. So, you know, let's talk a little bit about during treatment and then also after treatment. And we know that there are some treatment-related symptoms or side effects that patients experience in a pretty common way. You know, I think about, and you fill in the blanks for us, but I, you know, personally think about fatigue or this idea of nutrition. You know, what do I eat? What don't I eat? Do I eat sugar? Do I not eat sugar? Those are some of the questions. So can you just talk to us about some of those symptoms that sort of cross-cut the entire cancer continuum that patients may experience both during and after treatment? You know, what are those and why are they so important? And really, how can they be managed?
Yes, of course. So I'll start with fatigue because that is a very common symptom, as you said, that crosses across many cancers, many treatments, both during treatment and as a long-term effect continuing for a period of time after treatment as well. And I think it's important because it is different from the type of fatigue that many people may share that they experience on a regular basis. It's a very draining, ongoing exhaustion that really limits one's ability to do their activities of daily living and potentially things they enjoy. And it's not necessarily relieved by rest from typical fatigue that we might think about. So I think first, most importantly, is make sure that individuals are sharing the fact that they are experiencing this fatigue with their doctor and healthcare team. So sometimes I know I've had patients tell me they kind of just think it's something that goes along with care and it's not necessarily important to share. So make sure you're telling your doctor and healthcare team that you're experiencing fatigue. And it is a difficult one because it is multifactorial. So it needs a team approach both to evaluate it, you know, to understand how much of it is from either anemia. There's an anemia of chronic disease that people with cancer may experience, and there are other causes of anemia, too, that could be ruled out. Understanding, you know, how much is from pain, depression, anxiety, inactivity, sleep. So there are so many, other symptoms that can be also contributing to fatigue. So it needs to be evaluated by a multidisciplinary team. And then the management in many cases is also multidisciplinary. So it's nice if you have that approach during treatment and then, you know, a program like Cancer Transitions and resources to help you after treatment. So for fatigue, for example, I mean, there are some, you know, general things we tell people: take advantage of the best, the best time of day, manage rest with activity, you know, not being afraid to ask for help, writing lists for people, you know, to help you with tests. But again, activity, so the right amount of activity can actually help with fatigue. Good nutrition, so eating well, which we can talk about more later as well. Psychosocial support, so both in the form of maybe what we think about with traditional counseling or support groups, but also things like hypnosis and yoga may be helpful with this type of fatigue. So that's my recommendation from a standpoint of fatigue. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you have follow-up questions to that or...
Well, can you speak a little bit to long-term side effects? You know, so we know that when patients sort of stop their chemotherapy, there still might be side effects that are lingering, as you had suggested, with fatigue. But maybe just talk with our listeners a little bit about, you know, this concept of long-term side effects. What are they? And, you know, what can survivors do to manage through them?
Sure. So, you know, some of the long-term side effects, you know, we talked about fatigue. Some individuals may still experience nerve pain after treatment, hearing loss. You know, some treatments may affect the heart, change in hormones. Weight gain can come with certain treatments, and that's something that should be evaluated and managed from a survivorship standpoint, you know, even effects on bone. So again, I think the most important things for people to know is to talk with your doctor and healthcare team if these, you know, first so that you know whether these symptoms are expected or potentially can be a result of the treatment you had, or if there's something else going on that needs to be evaluated. So that's why communication is very important between, you know, those that treated you for your cancer and your primary care doctor or primary health care team. So talking to them, but then also looking for programs or support that can help with some of the, because everything I mentioned for fatigue, for the most part, can be helpful with some of the other long-term side effects as well. So, you know, support groups, community programs, activity, you know, eating well, yoga, et cetera.
Great. We are going to run into our first commercial break. And when we come back, I do want to talk to you about some things around body image and body changes that I think are important to address as we think about cancer transitions. This is Frankly Speaking About Cancer. We have to take this quick break, but we will be right back with Carolyn Lommersfeld of the Cancer Treatment Centers of America.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Effective cancer treatment requires more than just medication or surgery. For the country's 12 million cancer survivors and their loved ones, the social and emotional challenges of adapting to life with cancer are ongoing. How to handle coworkers' questions, how to get comfortable with new physical realities, how to reassure worried family members, or explain to friends your priorities have changed. The Cancer Support Community is ready to help by providing free counseling, education, and hope for survivors and their caregivers. Whether online or at over 100 locations around the world, the Cancer Support Community is ready to offer the support you need to live a better life with cancer. For more information on support groups, publications, nutrition, exercise programs, and more, call 1-888-793-9355. Or visit us online at www.cancersupportcommunity.org. That's cancersupportcommunity.org. The Cancer Support Community, a global network of education and hope.
Cancer Support Community is proud to be a partner of Magnolia Meals at Home, a new pilot program that aims to help patients by providing nourishing meals to households affected by breast cancer so loved ones can spend more quality time together. This program is currently available in and around two pilot cities, Andover, Massachusetts, and Woodcliffe Lake, New Jersey. Participants will receive one delivery of meals every month for up to 6 months when enrolled in the program. Each delivery includes up to 7 meals designed to help meet the nutritional needs of people living with breast cancer and 10 meals for family members. This novel program is brought to you by the AZI Women's Oncology Program, Magnolia. Cancer Care, the Cancer Support Community, and Meals on Wheels Association of America. To find out if you or loved ones are eligible, visit online at www.magnoliameals@home.com or call 617-733-5848.
Hi, I'm Nick Nicolaides, President and CEO of Morphotech, and we're delighted to be a sponsor of Cancer Support Community's Frankly Speaking About Cancer series. Morphotech and its parent company, AZI, are committed to human healthcare, and we recognize that patients and their families are the most important participants in the healthcare process. We salute our global advocacy partners who are devoted to improving the lives of people touched by cancer every day.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
You're listening to Frankly Speaking About Cancer with the Cancer Support Community, an inspirational program offering the resources you need to live a better life with cancer. Now here's your host, Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Cancer Support Community.
Welcome back to Frankly Speaking About Cancer. Today's episode is brought to you by Genentech and the Cancer Treatment Centers of America. We're so fortunate to be joined by Carolyn Lommersfeld today, who is the Vice President of Integrative Oncology at the Cancer Treatment Centers of America. And we're really talking about how do you readjust to life after your cancer treatment. And Carolyn, we left off and you gave some great information about how patients can manage particular side effects and long-term side effects that are in place after their treatment stops. You know, I'd love for you, given what you do at CTCA, to really speak a little bit about coping with body changes due to cancer treatment, and maybe start off by giving our listeners, you know, an example of what some of those changes might be that you see your patients trying to cope with.
Well, certainly a cancer diagnosis causes all kinds of adjustments, both just to the disease and then some of the body changes you mentioned. So we may see, I was just talking to someone actually this morning who's had a mastectomy and working through some of those changes. That's a very common one we see. And I'm fortunate in the integrative model that I work with, that I work with a whole team of psychosocial experts, mind-body medicine, if you will. And so those individuals are really instrumental during care in helping work through these issues and changes. And so much like I mentioned with fatigue and other long-term side effects, a multidisciplinary approach may be helpful. I neglected to mention acupuncture with regards to fatigue and potentially other long-term side effects, so that's something I want to make sure I mention. But in this specific area, as far as adjusting to changes to your body, psychosocial experts are what I see, in addition to potentially spiritual counselors, depending on the individual's approach or preference. So sometimes spiritual counselors have additional training that can be helpful in this area as well. So if you don't have access to that, one way is to talk with your doctor to see if they can help with that or give you a referral to these types of individuals. So of course, the Cancer Transitions Program covers this topic very well as well. And the Cancer Support Community, I know, provides both online and in-person counseling and education, so that may be a resource. In addition to the American Psychosocial Oncology Society, where you can find a referral to individuals that may be helpful with this approach. But again, making sure you have support from somebody with this expertise, a social worker or psychologist that can help with some of the adjustment to these changes.
Great. Thank you for that. And, you know, one of the things that we are very familiar with is just the high percentage of patients who are living with either depression or anxiety. And, you know, when you think about the people that you work with, You know, what do you do, and how do people cope with, you know, just the stress of managing, you know, transitioning into this next phase when they don't have, you know, weekly access to their physicians or their nurses?
Yeah, and as you mentioned, and it is common, and I think it's important for people to know it's common and it's normal to have this type of a response to a cancer diagnosis, and also, you know, when you're entering the end of treatment and kind of being, you know, sort of sent you know, to kind of get on with life, as patients have described it to me, and it's sort of, you have this this whole network of people helping you, and then many times you may be, you know, sent off to manage this on your own. Again, if you're fortunate enough to have treatment where this is provided, you know, talking with those individuals. So at CTCA, we're addressing all of the, you know, this anxiety and many of the symptoms that happen during cancer while patients are being treated. So we, you know, we will be communicating that with their doctor and healthcare team, but also they will be working with mind-body medicine individuals that help them with, for example, anxiety. And so those individuals may be doing the traditional talk therapy. We have, you know, so support groups, but then they can also help them with a referral to get that type of support. Again, if they're, you know, the cancer transitions program is one option, but they can help them find support in their area because they have been working with them throughout their care. They may be, again, assessing the individual to find out what works best for them. So it might be music therapy, it might be stress management, relaxation techniques, meditation is something we're finding with research may be helpful for some individuals. I mentioned yoga. Yoga can be helpful for anxiety as well, acupuncture, massage. You know, who doesn't? Most people feel better after a massage. So there are a number of things that people can try during treatment that then can be continued into survivorship, either with programs like cancer transitions or asking your healthcare team to help you with referrals for these types of services in your community when you go home. With the emerging telehealth, you know, there will be, I think, better ways to transition care in the home and continue to provide these services for cancer survivors as well.
And I just want to give our listeners a quick heads up that we are going to give the telephone number for APOS, which is one of the resources that you just mentioned, and then also the Cancer Support Community's helpline later in the show. So in case our listeners want to grab a piece of paper and a pencil, we will come back with that number for you. And in the meantime, Carolyn, you know, one of the things that that we wanted to sort of raise is just this fear that, you know, once people have completed their therapy, you know, part of what people talk about is this fear of their cancer returning. And I'm wondering if you could say a little bit about your experience with that.
Yeah, and I think utilizing the resources you mentioned and we've discussed, I think it's critical to share for individuals to share that fear, ask for support, and being informed. So knowing signs of recurrence and what to look for. And again, that's where communication with your healthcare team is critical and your oncology team, so that you know what you can expect long term, and know, you know, when something may be something to expect, and when something may need follow up. You may need to make a phone call and get in to see your doctor. Keeping up with tests and appointments that are recommended for follow up, so that you don't get behind in knowing whether something is okay or not. And again, all the things we mentioned, so utilizing resources, if it's individual counseling, support groups, or if you know or experiment with things like music therapy, meditation, acupuncture, massage, to find, you know, what works for you and helps manage the anxiety. Again, in addition to sharing it, being informed and keeping up with tests and follow-up appointments.
Mm-hmm. So part of it is to reestablish some of the early detection routines that people may have had prior to a cancer diagnosis.
Yes, absolutely. So you need to make sure you're having all your screenings that you had before. And there are other things, you know, to be mindful of, too. People that have survived cancer still are at risk for other chronic diseases, heart disease, diabetes. So to make sure you're either continuing with tests for those diseases, or if you already have those comorbidities, managing them well, because, you know, I have actually worked with patients who have survived pretty significant cancers only to end up shortly after finishing treatment, you know, having a heart attack or stroke. So it's important to keep up with your overall medical care as well.
Yeah, and stay very aware of your body and what's different
Absolutely.
For you. Yeah. So let's just talk about family and friends. And, you know, we hear from patients that there's a point when they finish their treatment and their family and friends sort of think, oh, okay, you're cancer free now. And they have a different approach to them moving forward. They may not, you know, be as connected, or they may not be as, I don't want to say supportive in a negative term, but they may feel like they don't need as much help as they did prior. And what is your experience there? And how can survivors really help navigate those conversations?
Yeah, I've heard this from a number of patients. I also have people in my family that have been affected by cancer, as most people do, just based on statistics. So I've seen it both personally and professionally. And I think some of it is, again, with the many resources we're talking about, is feeling empowered and learning how to hopefully not be afraid to tell people what you need. I don't think people intentionally feel like it's okay to, you know, to not talk to the individual or think that they don't need help anymore. They just don't know. Not everybody knows how to see what needs to be done and do it. So being okay with telling people what you need, potentially even giving them a list of things you need help with, again, because not everybody can see what needs to be done and just take action. So maybe providing your family and friend lists of things that need to be done and letting them decide what they can help with. And even if it's just, I think this one's really important because I've seen this both personally and professionally. Even if you just need to ask people to listen and not feel like they need to help or solve something. So it's kind of two different things. Don't be afraid to ask for help when you need help with tasks and activities, but don't be afraid to ask people to just listen to you too, and find out who those individuals are who can listen comfortably without feeling like they need to fix whatever it is you're sharing.
Mm-hmm. So communication is definitely the key.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And as we move into this next commercial break, I want to give people three resources that we've mentioned during this particular segment. So number one is the APOS helpline, and that number is 866-276-7443. And you had mentioned that by calling that line, callers can be referred to mental health professionals in their area. I'd like to also mention the Cancer Support Community Helpline, which is also staffed by licensed mental health professionals. And that number is 888-793-9355. We will repeat all of this at the end of the show. And then the third reference I'd like to give people, and this is, Carolyn, based on your comments around making lists or assigning mm-hmm. contacts, we work with an organization called My Lifeline. And they have an online tool that allows you to set calendaring, make requests, engage, and provide your family and friends with updates. And for our listeners, that web address is www.mylifeline.org, just like it sounds, mylifeline.org. And this is Frankly Speaking About Cancer. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more after this commercial.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
People living with breast cancer often find it difficult to ask for help, and many of the people in their lives want to help but don't know how. During National Breast Cancer Awareness Month, Cancer Support Community is proud to support Meal Train, sponsored by Magnolia, which utilizes MealTrain.com, a free shared online calendar to streamline the process of giving and receiving meals for families coping with breast cancer. Help us reach our goal of 1,000 new breast cancer-specific meal trains this October. To learn more, visit MealTrain.com/MMT and enter the code MAGNOLIAB, or visit us at cancersupportcommunity.org.
Cancer, it's a lonely word. Terms I don't understand. Choices I never thought I'd have to make. But there is hope and help.
Support from cancer survivors.
Links to research and clinical trials.
Help with finances and access to care.
All behind you, a breakaway from cancer, created by Amgen to empower cancer patients.
The Cancer Support Community is proud to be a partner of Breakaway from Cancer.
Effective cancer treatment requires more than just medication or surgery. For the country's 12 million cancer survivors and their loved ones, the social and emotional challenges of adapting to life with cancer are ongoing. How to handle coworkers' questions, how to get comfortable with new physical realities, how to reassure worried family members, or explain to friends your priorities have changed. The Cancer Support Community is ready to help by providing free counseling, education, and hope for survivors and their caregivers. Whether online or at over 100 locations around the world, the Cancer Support Community is ready to offer the support you need to live a better life with cancer. For more information on support groups, publications, nutrition, exercise programs, and more, call 1-888-793-9355 or visit us online at www.cancersupportcommunity.org. That's cancersupportcommunity.org. The Cancer Support Community, a global network of education and hope.
The future of online TV is here. View exclusive content from your favorite talk radio hosts and new programs that you can't see anywhere else. Visit voiceamerica.tv today.
You're listening to Frankly Speaking About Cancer with the Cancer Support Community, an inspirational program offering the resources you need to live a better life with cancer. Now here's your host, Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Cancer Support Community.
We're back with Frankly Speaking About Cancer. Today's show is brought to you by Genentech and the Cancer Treatment Centers of America. I'm Linda House. I'm lucky enough to be here with you today, filling in for your regular host, Kim Tibaldo, this week. And we've been talking to Carolyn Lammersfeld, who is the Vice President for Integrative Oncology at the Cancer Treatment Centers of America. And Carolyn, let's shift just a little bit and talk about nutrition and lifestyle, which is really your initial interest in working with people with cancer. And this is definitely, you know, your wheelhouse, and you are one of the leading experts here. You know, so this is a popular topic because it's really one of the areas that patients and survivors feel that they have the most control over as they're going through their cancer journey. And so just talk to us a little bit about some of the guidelines that you give survivors about, you know, let's start with their diet and nutrition.
Sure, absolutely. And I want to start by mentioning that the role of nutrition in both cancer prevention or risk reduction, if you will, and survivorship is complex. And, you know, still there's a lot we still need to understand about it. But we do get some signals in studies, you know, of what types of diets or ways of eating at least seem to change markers of risk, if you will. And so one of the things I think that's critically important that we make sure we cover is for individuals to really all individuals, but on the whole spectrum, so from prevention, during treatment, and survivorship, to really achieve and maintain a healthy body weight. And that may look different for individuals. So some may be underweight, particularly during certain treatments, and need to work on that. But the bigger problem in our country right now is the obesity epidemic. And, you know, we know that two-thirds or more of the population is carrying extra body weight, and that is a big risk factor for at least 13 different cancers. In fact, the statement that's going right, you know, around right now, but the statistics support it, is that tobacco is quickly obesity is quickly overtaking tobacco as the number one preventable cause of cancer in this country. So So most importantly is finding a diet which is basically a lifestyle or a way of life, along with activity and addressing, you know, your emotional health, finding what works for you to help achieve and maintain a healthy body weight. And even if that is losing a small amount of weight initially, small studies suggest that even 5 to 10% weight loss can help with these markers of risk. So it doesn't, you don't necessarily have to take it all on at once. And so some of the things that have been associated with helping individuals achieve and maintain a healthy body weight, one is plant-based eating, so trying to focus more on a plant-based diet where meat is maybe only occasionally or small amounts, and really the majority of your calories and nutrients, if you will, coming from whole grains, fruits and vegetables, things like beans in place of meat for protein, and cold water ocean fish at least a couple times a week. And then the other thing that has been associated with, you know, with weight gain is sugar, added sugars. So we know we get some of that from fast food, convenience foods. So one of the things we do is ask individuals to try and gradually cut down on the amount of added sugar in their diet. And the current recommendation is that if you eat roughly a 2,000-calorie diet, which is what we use just for the purpose of food labels, would be to decrease your added sugar to less than 50 grams a day. But if you need to lose weight, you may need to eat less than 2,000 calories, so you may need to be more down in the 25 to 35 grams of added sugar a day. So plant-based eating, trying to cut down on, you know, fast food, convenience food, and added sugars, which we get from those, as well as beverages and a lot of baked goods.
And so what complements, of course, the eating piece is the physical activity or exercise. So, you know, how do you really, you know, coach survivors into moving into physical activity? Is it something extreme? Is it something gentle? How do you do that?
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing I want to mention, kind of going back to the nutrition, is actually our website at cancercenter.com, www.cancercenter.com, has a lot of very good information on healthy eating with recipes and even short cooking demos. So I don't want to neglect to mention that. And
great,
the activity, of course, goes along with the healthy eating, particularly as it relates to weight. Certainly, at our centers, we're working with the patient's physician, but we always ask people if they're starting on their own, to talk with their doctor to find out what is safe for them, and then really working with a team of experts that can help customize a regimen for you based on where you're at. So generally, we will start if somebody hasn't been active or is, you know, still recovering from treatment, we ask them to shoot for the current recommendation of 150 minutes a week of activity. But again, that it's activity. And sometimes we use activity instead of exercise, because it really, everything counts: gardening, walking. And so we will work with individuals to first get them into that 150 minutes a week, however that needs to be broken down. So if they are experiencing fatigue, that might look like 10-minute sessions three times a day, most days of the week, of you know, walking or biking or gardening, whatever it is that the individual is able to do and enjoys. I think that's important too. It has to be what they are capable of doing and something that they enjoy, so that it becomes a lifestyle. And, you know, and then after that, that may be enough. And but some individuals, we may work with them to the other current recommendation is 75 minutes of vigorous activity. So if somebody is capable and interested, we may work with them to work towards that goal versus 150 of mild activity or more moderate activity. So I've worked with individuals who, after their cancer treatment, have started running 10Ks, and I think they could beat me in a 10K race. But so they have found a joy for running or biking after treatment. And then if you can, our exercise specialists, so we have an individual's can work with physical therapists, exercise physiologists, to also incorporate it incorporate some strength training, ideally a couple days a week, and some stretching. One thing that we also recommend a lot of is yoga, because if you do yoga where you're actually moving through postures, you can really be getting aerobic activity, some strengthening and stretching all at once. And as we mentioned earlier, it may also help with, you know, anxiety, fatigue, et cetera.
Great. And so just talk to us, because, you know, a lot of what you're saying about both nutrition and activity, they involve setting goals, even if they're, you know, small, achievable goals that build over time. So, you know, talk to us about the importance of goal setting and how does that fit into a survivorship plan?
It's critical, as you mentioned, and the Cancer Transition Program does a very, very good job of walking individuals through a survivorship plan, which, of course, any survivorship plan has to include exercise, emotional health, nutrition, medical follow-up, and to make progress in all of those areas really requires setting goals and breaking things down into smaller steps. And of course, it'll be different for everyone based on what works for them. So, one of the examples I mentioned the importance of weight loss as it relates to nutrition, but also activity. A patient that I've been working with for over 10 years now, a breast cancer survivor. When I first met her, we needed to get through, you know, surgery and some of those immediate things. But we ended up in a discussion about weight, and, you know, ideally our goal during treatment was maintaining weight with diet, activity, a whole lifestyle approach, and not gaining weight. And then after treatment, we've been working on weight loss. And this individual had about 40 pounds to lose based on her body composition. But we broke it out into very small steps. So, you know, the first goal was to lose 5 to 10 pounds. And we put a plan together for that. She lost that and really hasn't lost additional weight, but has lost 5 or 10 pounds, maintained that, and is doing very well. So it's critical, particularly if somebody has a lot of change to make in this area, you know, to set goals that are what we call SMART, specific, measurable, you know, achievable or attainable, realistic, and time-bound. And sometimes you may reach, so if it's weight, you may reach the 5 or 10 pounds, and then you may set goals to go further than that. And in this particular situation, the individual lost 5 or 10 pounds and is, you know, by all other accounts, healthy and doing well. And so we haven't pushed too hard to go any further than that.
Mm-hmm. That's terrific. And Carolyn, we are moving into our third commercial break, and I know that you're going to be leaving us at this point in time, that Claire's going to be joining us, but I wanted to thank you so much for being on the show today and for sharing really, really valuable information with our listeners. And I wanted to, in just the, you know, the time that we have left, see if there are, you know, is there anything that we haven't covered that you would want to make sure and leave our listeners with, any advice or words of wisdom? What would you like for them to walk away knowing from you?
Well, thank you for having me. I think if you are still being treated for cancer, you know, do some investigation. If you're not having some of the supportive care in your treatment, you know, use some of the resources we mentioned to try and incorporate this into your care. And of course, as you move into survivorship, be sure to utilize the resources we've mentioned, the Cancer Transition Program, the numbers you shared. Again, I put cancercenter.com out there as a resource as well to help individuals both during and after treatment.
Great. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
And this is Frankly Speaking About Cancer, and we will be back with Claire Saxton, who is the Cancer Support Community's Senior Director of Education, right after the break.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Effective cancer treatment requires more than just medication or surgery. For the country's 12 million cancer survivors and their loved ones, the social and emotional challenges of adapting to life with cancer are ongoing. How to handle coworkers' questions, how to get comfortable with new physical realities, how to reassure worried family members, or explain to friends your priorities have changed. The Cancer Support Community is ready to help by providing free counseling, education, and hope for survivors and their caregivers. Whether online or at over 100 locations around the world, the Cancer Support Community is ready to offer the support you need to live a better life with cancer. For more information on support groups, publications, nutrition, exercise programs, and more, call 1-888-793-9355 or visit us online at www.cancersupportcommunity.org. That's cancersupportcommunity.org. The Cancer Support Community, a global network of education and hope.
Cancer Support Community is proud to be a partner of Magnolia Meals at Home, a new pilot program that aims to help patients by providing nourishing meals to households affected by breast cancer so loved ones can spend more quality time together. This program is currently available in and around two pilot cities, Andover, Massachusetts, and Woodcliffe Lake, New Jersey. Participants will receive one delivery of meals every month for up to 6 months when enrolled in the program. Each delivery includes up to 7 meals designed to help meet the nutritional needs of people living with breast cancer and 10 meals for family members. This novel program is brought to you by the AZI Women's Oncology Program, Magnolia. Cancer Care, the Cancer Support Community, and Meals on Wheels Association of America. To find out if you or loved ones are eligible, visit online at www.magnoliameals.com. Or call 617-733-5848.
Have you become a member yet? Sign up now to become a member of Voice America. It's always free and easy. Plus, you get to take advantage of some great member benefits. Get unlimited access to millions of hours of on-demand content across all of our channels. Keep track of your favorite episodes, shows, and hosts in your own customizable library. Find out what shows you might be interested in based on your favorites. Plus, you get insider access with our newsletter. Membership gives you more. Sign up at voiceamerica.com and click register at the top right.
You're listening to Frankly Speaking About Cancer with the Cancer Support Community, an inspirational program offering the resources you need to live a better life with cancer. Now here's your host, Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Cancer Support Community.
We're back with Frankly Speaking About Cancer. In this last segment, we have Claire Saxton joining us. Claire is responsible for CSC's National Patient Education and Outreach Programs. Claire came to CSC from the Urology Care Foundation, where she managed national patient education programs and public awareness campaigns with partners that included a number of coalitions, including those who are working with National Bladder Health Month and working with the National Football League on prostate cancer awareness. So a lot of experience in this patient education and outreach space. So Claire, we are going to jump right in with you and, you know, talk to us about the Cancer Transitions Program and just give us our audience a sense about what it's going to be all about.
Sure. Thanks for having me. And the Cancer Transitions Program, it was jointly developed by the Cancer Support Community and LiveStrong. It's a free educational program to help cancer survivors make the successful transition from active cancer treatment to what happens next, what's the next chapter in their lives. And so the program was designed to target many of the issues that cancer patients and their loved ones face once their treatment is over. Issues like the ones that you and Carolyn talked about earlier that can affect your mind, body, and spirit. And so Cancer Transitions is looking to help people move from their last day of treatment and figure out, what do I do now? And some of the key things that it looks at is activating people to reach for a higher quality of life by practicing healthy lifestyle habits, things like exercise and staying active, nutrition, emotional and social issues that happen after treatment is over. It could be going back to work, dealing with people who have been helping so much and now trying to get back to a new normal for you. And also helping to manage medical issues moving forward. Where do you go for your general health, and who do you talk to if you have some issues that are more long-term effects from your cancer treatment? And so the program is designed to support, educate, and empower survivors, and it's pooled together. It's 6-week sessions, and it uses a variety of techniques from a written workbook to interactive education pieces, as well as utilizing the support of the other cancer survivors who are there with you, so more people who understand what you're going through, as well as actual 30 minutes of gentle exercise every week and nutrition activities to help people incorporate these healthy lifestyles over the 6-week period of the program.
So, Claire, you touched on something that I'd like for you to say a little bit more about. You use the word new normal, and I think we hear that a lot. And if you could just take a minute and explain that to our listeners, I think that would be really helpful.
Sure. A lot of times when people are first diagnosed with cancer, they're frightened, but once they get a treatment plan and it's moving well, they feel like, okay, I'm doing something, I'm being active to help with becoming as healthy as possible. And when that treatment ends, it can end up with people kind of feeling like, well, where do I go now? And a lot of what we hear from cancer survivors is, yes, my life is moving back to what my normal had been, but there are some changes in that. For some cancer survivors, those changes have to do with body image. For others, it has to do with some long-term side effects that might affect their daily life, like fatigue and incorporating new habits to help overcome that fatigue. A lot of people actually find some meaning in their treatment in terms of giving back to the community, or feel like they reevaluated their life and here's something more that they want to participate in. And so everybody has a different way of, you know, looking at the experience, but we do hear over and over from survivors and their loved ones that I wanted my life to go back to normal, but it is a little different than it was pre-cancer.
And so let's talk about the program. So the elements of the program will help with all of those items.
Absolutely, because we're looking at, like I said earlier, having an exercise program and modifying it for each participant so that it's gentle exercise for those who need it and more strenuous exercise for those who can participate in it, and coming up with plans to help think through what do I want my survivorship to look like? And for a lot of people, that's eating more healthy, learning about that, looking at stress management techniques that can be used for relaxation, and also searching out and finding emotional and social support. And so the whole 6 weeks, kind of each week builds on itself so that at the end of the program, people come out with a plan of, here are my goals for my survivorship, and also looking at a survivorship care plan so that it's clear to people and their loved ones, who do I contact when I have an issue? Do I always go to my general practitioner first? When do I reach out to my oncologist and go back to my cancer doctors. So helping to kind of unravel a lot of questions that people have as treatment ends.
And so the program relaunched just recently. What is new and with, you know, with this second version and this the relaunch?
Sure. Cancer Transitions has been around for over a decade and reached thousands of patients through more than 425 completed programs. But with the generosity of Cancer Treatment Centers of America and Genentech, we were able to update our 2019 version of Cancer Transitions. So we updated both the program and the program materials, and we incorporated the latest research on maintaining mental and emotional health, the latest research on eating well for cancer survivors, and the latest research on exercising and cancer survivorship. And as most listeners know, healthy eating guidelines have changed in the last decade, and also guidelines for cancer survivors and healthy eating have changed in the last decade. So all of those were incorporated. We also introduced a survivorship care plan so that people have a record of their treatment history that they can go back to in the future if a healthcare provider needs that information, and then also recommendations for follow-up care if it's needed. And so those were the big things that we changed in the update is the survivorship care plans and then incorporating the latest research on healthy eating, exercising, and well-being.
Great. Thank you. And we are going to wrap, but Claire, I know that that there's a place where people can go on the website to get additional information on the program. So can you give our listeners that information?
Sure. At Cancer Support Community's website, which is www.cancersupportcommunity.org, if you go there and then do /cancer-transitions, that will take you directly to the page that lists all of the cancer transition programs that are going on right now and the cancer transition programs that we know will be happening in the near future across the United States. If you have any questions, you're also welcome to email us at workshops@cancersupportcommunity.org.
Great. Thank you so much, Claire. Thank you for joining us. And I'm going to repeat some of these resources for our listeners, if you'll just bear with me. The APOS helpline is 866-276-7443. The Cancer Support Community helpline is 888-793-9355. And we heard from Carolyn that the Cancer Treatment Centers of America have a great website with resources, cancercenter.com. And then Claire, cancersupportcommunity.org/cancertransitions, cancer-transitions. So just to repeat that, www.cancersupportcommunity.org/cancer-transitions, and you'll get more information on this particular program. Before we end, I just want to tell our listeners about another opportunity to get involved in cancer research, and that is the Cancer Experience Registry, where today nearly 13,000 patients, survivors, and caregivers are already taking part in this particular project. The project really allows us to identify the emotional, social, and practical needs of patients and caregivers and what they have during their cancer journey. And the intent is to really learn as much as we can about that cancer journey so that we can continue to do programs like we've talked about today to improve cancer care and also advocate on behalf of both patients and caregivers. So I would invite you to learn more and also join this effort by visiting www.cancerexperienceregistry.org. Again, it's www.cancerexperienceregistry.org. Thank you all so much for spending your time with us today. Until next time, be well, do well, live well.
Thank you for joining us for Frankly Speaking About Cancer with your host, Kim Tibaldo. We're here for you every Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. In the meantime, stay connected online at cancersupportcommunity.org. That's cancersupportcommunity.org.